It was a small country, half a world from home, and it shook with the fire and thunder of war. But our nation shared its struggle, and so we came to Vietnam. Here, in the sounds of the country and its people, in the sounds of battle, and danger, and fear, and courage, here is Vietnam, as lived by the American fighting man. For every man, the war begins on a different day. For some, when a jet transport touches down at Tan Son Nhut or Da Nang. For others, the war begins at the foot of a gangplank at Vung Tau, Quy Nhon, or Cameron Bay. So this is Vietnam. First impressions, disarming. Those green, peaceful hills, quaint, inviting villages, a small, gentle-appearing people. Rice paddies? Looks like a nice place to soak your feet. Hey, Sarge, you say there's a war on here? Wait one, trooper. Wait one.
Lock one magazine. Load.
You are the best-trained fighting man our country has ever sent to war.
Remember,
but this is a new kind of war, and your enemy is resourceful, brave, and cunning. You train some more, and every man listens up, because the next time is for real.
You're searching for the enemy. Move out.
I see a lot of drive, I want to see a lot of guts. You men are going to war. Carry a weapon at the ready in your crowds. Don't look left and right.
Alert,
look
alive.
The enemy.
Slide left three, slide left four.
Don't look
in
the open space.
Hey! Observer, sound off what you got down there. Three on your feet, move out. Left, up by the bunker over here, four.
Keep off your face, four. If you don't maintain that base, five,
now bring us up and down.
Down, five.
Three, four, lock your weapon.
Way down.
Three, four, lock your weapon. Move out. Three, move out now.
Way down. Bring us up and down,
three.
Son.
Hit it. Lay down up.
Good. Hold it on, Todd. It's fine.
Damn. You gotta think in Vietnam. You don't think, you don't live. Any jump out can stand up and take machine gun slugs in the stomach.
Put this thing on the trigger. Unless you're gonna kill somebody.
Move forward. Cover them out.
Get up, move out. One hand carry. Zigzag.
Zigzag.
Come on, zigzag.
Alert, alive. Alert, alive. You carry the lessons of training to the tests of war. And Vietnam engraves itself on a new set of senses. Rice paddy. No cover. Trail. Punji steaks. Farmer. Viet Cong. Elephant grass. Ambush. Shadows. Movement. Hair trigger eyes. What's that on the trail? What moved there? That shadow in the tree line. What's that little boy carrying in his hand? And ears you never knew you had, tuned to Charlie's War, to the sounds of a jungle night in Vietnam as you lay in ambush, listening. and the other sounds of the monsoon rain pouring down. Or the night-long drizzle drumming on your poncho. Of your feet sloshing through streams and rice paddies. Little sounds of war, of a wounded baby crying, of your platoon digging in at day's end. Of your own artillery at night. After a while, you never woke. Your ear had learned the difference between incoming and outgoing. And the sounds you could cut with a knife. Of your patrols slipping through a Viet Cong jungle.
The area we're going through now is honeycombed. Fighting holes, trenches, all very well concealed. Coming out of the undergrowth now.
And the sound of Charlie bringing the war to you with the knifing crack of a sniper's bullet.
That was close.
Or the numbing terror of a mortar attack at night. The night and reality explodes all around you. Men jarred from sleep struggle to their fighting holes. Why didn't I dig it deeper? If you have lived through a mortar attack, you know the feeling that every round is going to drop into your hip pocket. And when you're riveted to that heaving, dark earth, every swear word is really a prayer.
God damn it.
Corman to 81.
Corman to 81. We're taking casualties. There, the flash of enemy mortars on that hilltop. Artillery, call for Artie. In the next foxhole, you can hear the lieutenant already on the phones. Fire mission. An artillery battery miles away. Here's our call.
Victor Charlie location. We'll adjust weight.
Range 8240.
Gun crews race against time. Move. Move. Our men are in trouble out there.
461. Set.
Ready.
Set.
In our fighting holes, it's the longest wait in the world. But when artillery arrives, when it drops down Charlie's throat, it's the most beautiful, ugly sound in the world. On target. Charlie's mortars are stilled. We dig deeper into our holes. We'll sleep there. We collect our casualties. We have four wounded, but it's over. And the war is shorter by one more dirty, sleepless, fear-filled night of Vietnam. There's another Vietnam, where men no longer fight, of hamlets made secure, where peace and a future sprout in a land that's known little of either, where American medicine cures a sick baby, where Vietnamese hospitality makes an American forget he's homesick, and where little children carry on their old romance with the American GI.
Hey, number one.
Hey,
okay,
come here.
What's your name?
What's your name, you? Number one,
everybody. My name's
Hi. Doctor,
what's your name?
Number 10.
You know, doctor.
Number 10.
And there are moments taken from war for a man to unwind, to write his thoughts home, to talk Vietnam off his chest.
This godforsaken country, I don't know. I don't care how much they publicize this. They just don't know what hell is until they come here. They can't imagine what the United States men are going through here. Even if they're not fighting these men, this terrain and this temperature is unbearable. It's terrible, and you're in a country, you're away from home, and the people sit over there and they demonstrate. I just can't understand that I wish we could get them over here just for even a couple weeks, just so they could see what it's like over here and what these men are going through for them.
Sure, join the army and come on over and see what it's like. We go 7 days a week. 12, 14 hours a day. What little spare time there is, these guys spend writing letters, go down to the club, have a few beers. Well, the full year we're here, none of us can afford to get drunk ever. And three-day pass, we never heard of one. I've been here 5 months, I've had one half of one day off, and I wrote letters and slept.
Sometimes we lay out here in positions, and bugs and ants crawl all over us. After you've been out here about 6 or 7 months, it just doesn't bother you anymore. You just say, oh, well, what the hell? Forget it.
It's a lot of mountain country, and you got to do a lot of what we call humping.
You can get used to it, but you can't get used to the people shooting at you.
Well, really, Charlie, just about the only thing that bothers me over here. And when I'm shot at and come real close, it has a great effect on me.
Well, when you talk about combat, you got to realize that all this isn't just fighting. You got to stand out there and water up your knees day after day, and heat's unbearable, and it always isn't just fighting. There's other things that work a man a lot harder than getting shot at.
The red ants are vicious. They will bite, and they will attack.
And you got some other kind of ants. They got these red ants. They're clearest red, and they got black beady eyes. Bad ants, boy. Let me tell you, these are some bad ants.
And the most of the time when I see them, I take my mosquito repellent and throw on them and burn them up. And then come night, I'm in trouble again. I don't have no mosquito repellent for the mosquito. So you had to be careful whatever you do over here.
Leeches bother me a lot. You'd be walking along not only in the water, but through the rice paddies or anywhere. You think you got a leech on your leg and you're afraid to look and stop. You do got a leech on your leg.
They got black ants here that, you know, scarf up on food. They open sea rations for you.
You know they say about these two seasons they have over here, hot and dry and hot and wet. And the hot and wet, you stay muddy and dirty.
Well, they got all kinds of snakes and bugs over here. You got a bushmaster and a cobra, bamboo viper and the banana viper, and you name it, they got it.
Well, yes, I was laying in the CP one day with my shirt unbuttoned, and one crawled up on my stomach and jumped off to the side, but I didn't really get a good look. By the time he was going one way and I was going the other, we was both too fast to recognize each other.
These little small ants that you don't see during the day, they don't even bother you, see? And you lay down at night, you roll your poncho out, you lay down on it, and you're devoured right there. You can hang it up. That's about the only kind of ants I can think of right now.
Well, these punji sticks, they're a pain sometimes.
I tell you, I've been in this platoon for 3 months, but I think it just about anything that happens, outside of a person getting shot or anything, that this platoon would laugh about it. I mean, as one of my sergeants told me, I think this platoon could go through hell and come out laughing about it.
Well, I'm from Georgia, and I miss laying down on the river at this time of year fishing.
Miss my wife and sleep.
Well, my family mostly, just through friends.
Cold water. You just can't get it around here.
No, other than ice, probably. I don't know, just the normal conveniences that seem like you take for granted all the time when you're at home.
Cold milk and ice cream.
Good food.
I don't know, there's just nothing like an American girl.
Mostly I think you think about home, what you're going to do when you get there, and just
pass time away, think of the different things you used to do, just hoping for the time when you get to go back.
I guess I'm counting the days I go home. I check them off. I got umpteen hundred to go, but I'm still counting.
About the first thing I'm going to do is get right down and kiss the American soil.
Well, my first thing I want to do is get me a real hot bath, get in the tub and soak for about 3 hours, get some of this crud off me that's been on for the last 9 months or so.
I never realized what home was like, man. I tell you, the United States is terrific. I don't care.
Well, all I can say, when I die, I had to go to heaven because I would spend my time in hell, because I don't think hell could be no worse.
And then there is Saigon, fevered capital of a country at war, oasis for the American fighting man. In every rice paddy of Vietnam, her name is a promise of life. If you can survive her traffic. For Saigon streets are the noisiest, riskiest no man's land in Vietnam. Seagulls, scooters, trucks, bicycles, jeeps, water buffalo, you name it, Saigon rides it. And the sidewalks, swarming with people, cluttered with the wares of the sidewalk vendors, awash in the strange smells and sounds of Saigon.
Watch, good watch. Number one watch, Charlie.
Where do you go? How to see?
Hey, you my parents, sir. You my parents.
Where do you go? I watch for you.
Hey,
what do you do?
Okay.
Where you go now? Zip number one.
Okay, I can't go here. Okay. How much you pay? My pen. Okay.
I tell you, I got young number one for you. Lynn, very nice.
I've never heard of him.
I believe it's down this way here. It's on Tudor Street. See, Tudor is a...
And Saigon is Tudor Street. 100 bars. 1,000 scooters, 10,000 number one girls. But most important for some GIs, it was 1 million miles from war. Saigon is other things. Gift buying on Laloy Avenue. A fine meal with the strangeness of a waiter and a napkin. Short, fleeting days in rented civvies. A dozen service clubs where fighting men forget for a moment. And if you're in Saigon on a national holiday, it is Saigon as it must have been. Fireworks, festivities, parades. Brave nation, a generation at war deserves parades. A brave city deserves gaiety. But it does not last. Saigon cannot hide the scars on its soul. You see it. in the faces of 100 street urchins. You hear it in the song of a blind war veteran begging on the streets of Saigon on a rainy night. His song speaks for the city of war. Dear unknown, you are a man. You must march off to war. My eyes seem to tell you to love life, but inside, I am too sad to say the words. A song of the 1960s, Saigon, Vietnam.